The Packers have put their first padded practice of the season behind them as training camp continues. And continuing here at Railbird Central is our position-by-position preview series focusing on the linebackers. We have Ben Foldy of the Acme Packing Company podcast joining us today. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the start of training camp and the first padded practice of the season. We're also continuing our position-by-position preview series, and to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today. We have Ben Foldy of the Acme Packing Company podcast, the third consecutive guest on the show from the podcast. Ben, how you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show, as I do with many of our guests, Ben. Could you just kind of tell us about how you became a Packers fan and kind of what you do with Acme Packing Company?
So I grew up mostly in Milwaukee. I moved to Milwaukee when I was 7, and my last memories, I moved from Cleveland, and my last memories of Cleveland were the Indians losing the World Series and the Browns packing up and moving overnight. I left in 1996, and so my first year in Milwaukee ended up also being the Super Bowl 31 in my first like full year in Milwaukee. So I ended up I hadn't been a huge Browns fan. There wasn't that much to be a fan of, but the Brewers were no good in 1996, so I quickly became really into the Packers.
Understandable. And at Acme Packing Company, could you describe the show there and what you do?
Yeah, so the podcast actually began mostly through Zach and some other friends of mine, and it was kind of just a personal thing. And then this year, I moved to New York last year, and Zach invited me to be on the show, and we had a really good rapport. We knew each other growing up, but so we did the show a couple times last year, and it went really well, so I just kind of became a regular part of the show. And then this year we kind of took it up from the independent leagues to the majors and affiliated with Acme Packing Company. So we're trying, and Alex joined us this year, so we're trying to do a lot more with the podcast and the resources that are afforded by kind of an affiliation with something like Acme Packing Company. So I guess we try to have a fun, not too serious, but still, you know, intellectual enough place to talk and discuss the Packers and talk to special guests that we can drum up. Yesterday we recorded a interview with Alex Galhar, who's the head fantasy writer, I think, at NFL.com. So we just try to kind of talk about anything and everything relating to the Packers and football more generally, but mostly the Packers.
Well, very cool. I was glad to have both yourself and Alex and Zach all on the show here right in a row this week. But let's continue our discussion with the linebackers here, kind of the next in a series. So, yeah. Ben, the starting with Clay Matthews, kind of the face of the position, I guess. The Packers have been pretty insistent that Clay Matthews will move back to outside linebacker this season, but really haven't ruled him out, you know, playing some inside linebacker as well. How much do you think we'll see Matthews line up on the inside this season?
I don't think we'll see that much of it. I think there's a few reasons for that. I think that if Barrington's healthy, which is kind of a fingers crossed statement, if with Barrington back, Ryan taking kind of that patented Mike McCarthy year two advance, and the team seems pretty high on Martinez, that it'll be pretty rare to see Clay inside. And what I think is really interesting news out of camp yesterday is that the Packers experimented with a package in which Morgan Burnett plays inside, kind of a la Deion Buchanan. So I think they have the personnel this season that, barring kind of unforeseen circumstances with injury and whatnot, I think it's pretty unlikely that we'll see too much of Clay on the inside.
Yeah, be interesting to see what happens there with Clay Matthews. And, you know, Mike McCarthy alluded to Julius Peppers' snaps being limited in a press conference on Wednesday. How much playing time do you think Peppers will see this season?
Well, I think the proof is kind of in the pudding. Like in last season, Peppers' snap count was about 66%, which was already down 7% from the year before. And the year before that was already 7% down from his last season with the Bears. So, and despite that, Peppers had 3.5 more sacks last season than he did in the two prior seasons. So I think that with that kind of efficiency coming when he focuses more on getting after the passer and less on setting the edge, it'll prolong his kind of age. You know, age catches up with everybody. Peppers is a physical freak, but nobody beats time. So, and I think also, again, it's this question of personnel, and that with Dayton Jones, Kyle Fackrell, Jayron Elliott, and Nick Berry all taking at least some snaps, and the Packers having both Dayton and Nick Berry on kind of show me deals, I think they'll get like a meaningful chance to show off what they can do in that space. So with Peppers kind of playing more in the dime, in the nickel, and on passing downs, and less setting the edge, I think his snap down will come down even further, actually, probably from last season. But I don't think that will result in a loss of efficiency. So I think that's a good strategy. It allows Dom Capers to kind of save Peppers' really unique game-breaking ability when he's getting after the quarterback, and it lets him save that for when it really counts throughout the season.
All right, we talked about Matthews, we talked about Peppers. Now let's kind of combine them here. Do you think this PED investigation into the two of them will impact them or distract them at all as it continues to linger and goes unresolved?
I can't honestly say that I have any like special knowledge regarding that, but I do think that both players have enough of a track record kind of showing a consistency in their game from year to year that their mentality and their preparation is not really like their confidence is never an issue. Their preparation is never an issue. So I'm not that worried about them getting fazed by something like that.
We'll see if that thing, you know, resolves itself at some point. It's kind of just weird how it's, you know, the NFLPA seems to be against it and it just continues to linger here. But we'll see. We'll see. We're talking to Ben Foldy of the Acme Packing Company podcast here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Ben, are we going to see the same Nick Perry we saw in the playoffs when he had 3.5 sacks, or is it going to be the same old underwhelming version we saw for much of the past 3 years?
Four years. I guess I have to think that Nick Perry knows that he has a shot at taking over. at least part of the space that will eventually be left by Peppers, and he has to know that he's on a 1 year kind of show me deal. So I think he does better than he has for the majority of his career, if he can stay on the field. But I also think that expecting the playoff pace is would be not reasonable, not just because I don't think any player can really maintain about a 20 sack rate, but because there's so many players competing for those snaps. So I think like a reasonable, very successful result for Nick Ferry this season would be something around maybe 7 sacks, considering the way that I anticipate the snaps will be distributed among the outside linebackers.
Yeah, if Nick Perry could put a 7-sack season up on a consistent basis, that would be, you know, better from him than what pretty much we've saw at any point in his career. The key point would be consistency, I suppose. But speaking of another first-round draft pick or former first-round draft pick, how effective do you think Daytones Jones is going to have to be in his new role as the elephant end now that he has an entire training camp to prepare for it?
I think Daytones is actually facing a pretty similar situation to Perry. But whereas Perry's kind of breakout came in the playoffs, so it's kind of fresh on everybody's mind, people forget that Daytone had kind of a breakout game himself. Week 11 in Minnesota, he had 2 sacks. So it'll be interesting to see who takes advantage of the show me deals better. I think Daytone and Nick Perry are going to be competing for kind of the same space on the field. So a lot might come down to injuries and who performs better early on and if they can kind of who can take that initiative and kind of hold on to it throughout the season. Kind of like a hot hand situation with a running back or something like that, like kind of like who's performing stays in, and if you're not, then there's somebody nipping at your heels. But honestly, it's not really a problem, right? It's kind of an embarrassment of riches for the Packers, I think. And maybe that's too optimistic, but I mean, it's preseason. Of course, I'm optimistic.
You bring up a good point about the injuries because, I mean, these are basically two players who have been, you know, highly injured throughout, you know, the early points in their careers. And if one of them can just stay healthy, you know, they could stand to have a very good season. Elsewhere at the outside linebacker position, is Jayrone Elliott's biggest contributions going to continue to be on special teams, or will we see him make more of a significant impact on the defense this season?
I think that Jayrone, in all the opportunities he's been offered, has showed that he does have some game-breaking potential, both in the preseason appearances he's had, and I mean, it's pretty hard to ignore last season's game against the Seahawks. I think he's done reasonably well with everything that's asked of him thus far, and I would presume that he's in line for some additional responsibilities this season. Particularly, I think we'll probably see Jayrone coming in more for some of the edge setting, anticipating run packages that Peppers will probably be giving up more of this season. And again, I think it's kind of a question. I think the Packers actually have an embarrassment of riches and a fair amount of depth at the position. I really do like Jayrone as a player, and I think that he's got a lot of potential.
Switching from the outside linebackers to the inside linebackers here, I mean, we kind of already talked about Clay Matthews and kind of his nebulous position, I suppose. But anyway, rookie Blake Martinez has been working with the starters early in training camp. So Ben, what are the realistic expectations for Martinez this season?
I think reasonable expectations would be above average coverage in coverage linebacker who kind of starts small and works his way in on passing downs. But with Barrington still out at camp, he's getting a lot of work with the ones. And everybody who seems to have spoken to him from the media loves his work ethic and his kind of commitment. And I think that can be taken a little more seriously than the kind of de rigueur praise of a coach or a GM speaking about a new rookie to pump him up. Like it seems like there's fire with that smoke. With Barrington's health issues, kind of an unfortunate reality. Martinez could be out of the frying pan and into the fire sooner rather than later. I don't think that's an ideal situation, but it's a possible situation. So I think the reasonable expectations would be, you know, an above average coverage inside linebacker who, you know, comes in on obvious passing downs. But I think high but attainable expectations would be that he can end up handling the starter's job with average or maybe a bit above average performance in his rookie season. And if he can do that while playing alongside Jake Ryan, who is himself basically half a rookie, then that I think is a really great outcome.
So, yeah, I mean, you talked about a big reason Martinez is working with the starters right now is because, you know, Sam Barrington is on the PUP list to open training camp. How much does that concern you with Barrington's, I guess, you know, long-term health? I mean, is he the kind, he's already had two seasons in which that ended on injured reserve. Does this concern you about him?
Yeah, I mean, it concerns me. I imagine it concerns him. He's missed a lot of time, and the amount, you know, Blake Martinez, the fourth round pick is a not insignificant amount of draft capital. Ted Thompson takes the draft seriously, and he doesn't, you know, I mean, if Carl Bradford can survive on that roster, you know, Martinez will get every chance to stick. There's no guarantees in the NFL, and it's hard to hold down a spot when you can't get on the field. As far as the team goes, I think that the as far as the defense goes, inside linebacker in the front three are obviously the thinnest and weakest parts of the defense. So even if Barrington isn't the starter, I would feel a lot more comfortable knowing that we had a little depth at the position.
That kind of leads us to Jake Ryan. How much improvement do you think we'll see from him in year two? Will it be drastic? Will it be modest? What are kind of your expectations for Jake Ryan?
I think that looking at his physical profile and I don't think he's that. He's not a dramatic player when you think of kind of, you know, the kind of being everywhere, popping everybody, inside linebacker, that I think a lot of Packers fans were dreaming of when, you know, Miles Jack was still on the board, in May. So I don't think his physical profile portends like a potential quantum leap in his abilities this coming season. But I do think that if he improves on the things that kind of time and repetition reps in the league should do for you, like namely making quicker assessments and better decisions. He does have good flatline speed. He's not super quick, but he's got good speed. And if he's even that much quicker at making good decisions, you know, he racked up a bunch of tackles last season. But if those tackles come 1 or 2 yards upfield from where they would have been last season, that's a meaningful improvement. It might not be, you know, drastic. It might not be sacks and forced fumbles and the kind of things that you would kind of see from someone like, I don't know, Brian Urlacher or Luke Kuechly or somebody like that. But I do think that if he is, you know, racking up tackles and they're, you know, he made the decision to commit a second, you know, half second earlier, we'll see meaningful improvement. It just won't be the kind of meaningful improvement that you get really excited about.
Fair enough. Ben, thanks so much. I know you just did your latest podcast within, I don't know, the past, 24 hours?
Yeah, we did it last night.
So what's the plan for the next one? Do you do it on a weekly basis?
We aim to do it on a weekly basis, even in the off season. Sometimes the off season's a bit rough to have anything to talk about, as I'm sure you know you are familiar with. Definitely weekly basis during the season. And we're kind of using the off season to try the podcast equivalent of playing Morgan Burnett at linebacker. We're just trying new stuff, seeing what sticks, seeing what doesn't. It's actually a lot of fun for us. So it's pretty fun to have an off season as a podcaster to try new things.
Really cool. We'll send people your way to your podcast. We have been all week and we'll continue to do so. Thank you so much, Ben, for joining us today. It was fun to talk some Packers football and the linebackers with you. And best of luck at Acme Packing Company.
Yeah, thank you so much. And best of luck with Railbird.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Ben Foldy of the Acme Packing Company podcast joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the show. No sound bites today, so here's your Packers news of the day. Kind of my two cents into what I thought was the most interesting thing to come out of camp on the first day of padded practice on Thursday. And Ben kind of alluded to it already, although I kind of want to dive into it a little bit deeper. Morgan Burnett being used as kind of a hybrid linebacker in the team's dime defense, according to multiple reports from the team's beat writers on social media and otherwise. I've kind of been tracking the hybrid safety linebacker role since the NFL Combine when I personally asked Mike McCarthy about how the Cardinals used Deion Buchanan in that role. And it appears that that's the way the Packers could be going with Burnett. Although, once again, I just want to stress this is just one practice and maybe it's experimentation at this point. Maybe it's something the Packers plan to implement. We're not really sure, but it's definitely something to watch. You know, I never really thought of Burnett in that hybrid role, just being honest. Just because he's kind of been a veteran that's been entrenched in the same spot for so long. But once I thought about it, you know, it really made sense to me. Burnett can really hit like a linebacker, which has been the most surprising and really nice part of his development. You know, when the Packers first drafted Burnett, I thought he was a true roaming free safety. And that's kind of how we spent his first year or two in Green Bay, I thought. And while safeties do have to be somewhat interchangeable, Burnett has developed more and more into the strong safety mold. Somebody that can play in the box and really tackle. Whereas HaHa Clint Dix kind of plays the traditional free safety more often. But it fits Morgan Burnett, that strong safety role. He's not a ball hawk. I hoped he would be. It kind of looked like he was in college, but that hasn't really fit his skill set in the NFL. So him playing in the box, that fits his strengths, where he won't be following receivers deep downfield quite as often. And I'm excited to see how this evolves and see if it's used more often. You know, a light bulb kind of clicked with me when I first heard about this because I didn't really think of Burnett in that role, but to me, it makes perfect sense. You know, he's not the most athletic safety in the world, but, you know, to be a linebacker, I don't think you have to be. I think if you're an average, you know, safety, that you got the speed to handle linebacker then an inside linebacker spot. So, you know, I think he can handle the guarding the tight ends that might run up the street to seam, even the running backs on going on to the flats, things like whatever his responsibility may be, but it's just the tack. He is such a forceful tackler, that, you know, that's the best part of Morgan Burnett's game. And I'm excited to see if this, you know, continues down this road. So if that's the good news, here's the bad. I've heard the wide receivers have been underwhelming in the early going at training camp. And this is based upon the reports more or less from Tom Silverstein that he does on a daily basis now with the USA Today Network Wisconsin. You know, I haven't been to training camp myself yet, so these are admittedly secondhand reactions. And they're mostly in reference to Devontae Adams, who similar to last year seemingly can't seem to gain separation. And they're also in reference to Jeff Janis, who hasn't exactly been on the same page as quarterback Aaron Rodgers, which is pretty much the same complaint against him last year, too. Now, you know, so that being said, now there is a silver lining, and that is that it's early, especially for a player like Janis, who's been working more with Rodgers and the first team offense this camp than previous years, when he was working more with the second and the third string offenses. And I can attest to that from my own two eyes when I have been at training camp in previous years. And that's not to say he never worked with Aaron Rodgers. And I'm speaking about training camp in specific here, not regular season practice, which no one really gets to see. The media is only basically there for a few minutes and then they're carted out. So we really don't know what happens behind closed doors in the regular season. But anyway, so here's to hoping both Adams and Janis can learn from their mistakes early on. And it is good to hear, like, rookie wide receiver Trevor Davis is making a good impression, first impression, to kind of make up for that a little bit. Let's hope he continues it. So there you go. Kind of the good news, I thought, with Morgan Burnett. The bad news with the wide receivers, especially the veteran guys, or at least the guys who've been around a few years, like Adams and Janis. Just some off the cuff reactions to what's been transpiring at the early going at Packers training camp. But in other news here, the Packers made a roster move on Thursday, signing wide receiver Harvey Binford out of the Arena Football League, playing for the Philadelphia Soul the past 2 years. And, you know, it made sense that the Packers added a wide receiver, considering that both Jordy Nelson and Ty Montgomery remain on the PUP list. And it's also good that they brought Binford in by the time the first padded practice started, so he's ready by the time the preseason games roll around. They still have one roster spot open, and I kind of wish the Packers had made another signing by now so that the next player has the same luxury of being ready by the time the preseason starts, because that's when you really need the players more than any. I mean, you can use them in practice too, but, you know, really don't want to have those contributors on the field in the fourth quarter of the Hall of Fame game. That's the time for Harvey Binford to shine. You know, what exactly the Packers have got in Binford, we'll see. He's 6 foot oh and 185 pounds, and we probably won't know more until we see a little bit more from him at both at camp and in the preseason. I mean, I haven't seen anything of Binford. You know, I haven't watched any Arena League football. I know it's on TV from time to time, but I have not been watching Harvey Binford specifically, so. But excited to see him in training camp. Maybe we'll see a little bit. I don't anticipate going to practice until, you know, family night. So hopefully get to see a little bit of him then. We've also had the first non-PUP list injuries to report on. On the first day of training camp, everybody was practicing except the PUP list players. Kind of expected, right? First day of camp, just the guys who were, like, you know, held out because they have to be, because they're on the PUP list. They were sidelined and not suited up. So on the second day, cornerback Robertson Daniels didn't practice. But as it turned out, it's because his wife gave birth. So it wasn't because of an injury at all. So that was good news, and he returned. Then on the first day of padded practice, we had the first non-PUP list player drop out, tight end Mitchell Henry, reportedly due to cramps. And hopefully that's a temporary thing, because the Packers could certainly use depth at the position with Jared Cook also sitting out. And apparently linebacker Manoah Pakula limped off the practice field on Thursday, although there's been no word on the severity of his injury. So that's just giving you an update where the Packers are from an injury standpoint. Very good so far. Doesn't seem like anything major, but there you go. It just maybe one more off-the-field note. Just saw it this morning, in fact. Seahawks general manager John Schneider recently confirmed in a report at ESPN.com that the new contract he recently signed does not have a clause that allows him to leave for the Green Bay Packers general manager job, which, you know, it was kind of believed to be the case in his last contract. You hear scuttlebutt about that every once in a while. But he just signed like a 5-year extension just not long ago. And apparently, you know, somebody in the media asked him about it and he responded. And there is no clause like that. I know some have speculated that he could be the next general manager when, you know, Ted Thompson eventually leaves his post for the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, that's probably unlikely at this point, considering this information, although, you know, perhaps not out of the question. But I mean, this only lends more credence to the thought that Elliott Wolf will be the next Packers general manager, considering he's in-house, considering he's worked his way up the ladder, considering there's a faction that probably wants him to recapture the magic of his father, who was just inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame last year and, you know, led the Packers to Super Bowl glory in Super Bowl 31. So there you go. There's that to contemplate and chew on, just as kind of a side note here with all the action that's been going on the field at training camp. But that leads us into the next and last segment of the show, the day ahead. Following the first padded practice of the season for the Green Bay Packers, Friday is their first day off from practice. Now this doesn't mean players won't be doing anything today. I'm sure they'll be doing regeneration activities, strength and conditioning, and have meetings. It's just a day away from the pounding, which is good for a player like Manoah Pakula, who will have some time to recover and maybe return by the time the Packers hit the practice field once again. So Saturday, the Packers will return to Ray Nitschke Field once more for one more practice at 8:15 a.m. Central Time in advance of Sunday's family night, which is, you know, the signature practice of all of training camp, the one practice they hold inside Lambeau Field in front of a sold out crowd, which we have learned has sold out. And so getting ready for that Sunday evening, I think it, you know, a little past 6 p.m. or something like that. So although the Packers have a day off from practice on Friday, there will be one event to look forward to today, and general manager Ted Thompson holding his first press conference of training camp, which will be streamed live at 9:30 a.m. Central Time at Packers.com, so essentially right after the live edition of this show ends. Pretty much the only time Thompson speaks is prior to the NFL draft or during the NFL draft as well, and then weekly during training camp. So get your fill now, because you probably won't hear from him again during the regular season. He doesn't do these press conferences anymore. So pretty much this is Ted Thompson's time to shine for the next month or so when he holds, you know, monthly training camp press conferences. So that's kind of one, you know, one thing that'll emerge from the Packers beat today, as there will be no practice to report on. But other than that, enjoy family night. No matter where you live, you should be able to watch the Packers practice on Sunday evening, either statewide on a network of television, local television stations, but you know, nationwide and even worldwide at fox11online.com, which streams the event annually. So Monday's episode of Railbird Central, we'll have a communal event to talk about, that since most everybody should be able to see and watch. So we'll reconvene then. Have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy family night. And we'll talk more Packers football next week. Thank you to Ben Foldy of the Acme Packing Company podcast for being our guest on the show today. And on behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caravu. My call to action is always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, go to iTunes and search the term Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up, and give us a 5-star rating and a brief little review. And because that helps us get word out about the show, and that's my goal, trying to get as many Packers fans to find this resource as possible, because I think it'll be of service to them. So thanks, folks. Thank you to those of you that have done that. We'll see you. Have a good weekend. I leave you today with a song called "Valley of the Jig" by the String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.